all the praise reports of everybody, how, you know, everybody is doing well, and, you know, your spouse just needs to hear those good things and continue to do good things for your spouse, surprise them, and just do things that you know that they like, you know. And it's funny, when Sister T was talking, that's funny, because, you know, well, it's funny. Women is always a little scratch till a man sees it, you know. It's like a little scratch. But anyway, thank God for growth with everyone involved and all those things. We are on our, what I'm thinking is going to be our last installment of this message. You know, God can change things, but we've been talking about how to stop a divorce, how to stop a divorce. And, you know, some of us have been there. Even the younger couples on the line, I'm sure at some point, you know, I've been there. And so, you know, we had to deal with it. This thing about divorce, this thing called divorce, this monster, as it were, called divorce. It's destroying families. It's destroying homes. This idea of, you know, no-fault divorce. No-fault divorce, you know. You know, it ain't nobody's fault. You know, we just couldn't make it. We couldn't. There's irreconcilable differences. Well, how many of y'all know? It's somebody's fault. Whenever there's divorce, somebody is at fault. Somebody no fault. You know, somebody's at fault. Why? Because we said marriage vows. We said marriage vows. We made a vow in front of everybody most of the time. Baby, I want a big wedding, okay? There's a big wedding is more people for you to make a vow in front of to God and your spouse. So all them people, they brought you all them gifts, all them people you paid for at the reception, all them people that you sent out invitations to. An invitation to what? To a wedding. To a celebration of two people coming together forever. I mean, I would be embarrassed, you know. I think about these celebrities. I think about some of these celebrities, and I ain't going to call nobody's name, but some of these people, I mean, they've had so many weddings, man. It's crazy. Their photo, their wedding photo album has like four or five marriages in it. Every time they get married, CNN and everybody's covering it. You know, they're on the news. They're in Time magazine with a new white dress. Unbelievable. Over and over and over. And you know, obviously, marriage means nothing to these people. These marriage vows mean nothing. So why are we even going to having a big old wedding like this to hear you say some more vows that you don't even mean? You done said them four times. For better, for worse, to death do us part. Four times with four different people. That's a joke. What a joke. And that's what marriage has become in our country. It has become a joke. It has become a byword. It has become a punchline. You know, even in many of our cultures, in our families. You know, we'll see how long this gonna last. Stuff like that. People saying about your marriage. It's crazy. And so, we've been talking about God's plan for marriage and how to avoid or how to stop a divorce. And that's from whatever end that you're on, whether it's you in a situation thinking about contemplating divorce, or you've got a friend that's going through a hard time that's contemplating divorce. Okay? So these are things you can use for yourself and that you can tell somebody else. We were in Psalms chapter 1. I want you to go back to Psalms chapter 1. Okay? And we were substituting the word man for married couple. So instead of blessed is the man, we're going to say blessed is the married couple. Okay? Blessed is the married couple that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We talked about that last week. Uninformed people, inadequate, incompetent people, telling you about what to do in your marriage. Here you are married, talking to your younger sister who ain't married about your husband. She giving you advice. How about that's a bad idea? Here you go to the barbershop talking to 20 men and 19 of them paying child support to women who they don't even know if that's a child or not, and you taking marital advice from them. Here you go to the beauty shop telling all you and your husband's business to these old stank women up in there who don't have a clue about how to get a man, keep a man, and hold a house together. You getting advice from them. There you go watching Oprah, who ain't never been married, trying to tell you, bringing some married expert on there, trying to tell you about what you need to do to preserve your marriage. There you go listening to Steve Harvey. Think like, I'm cracking myself up. Think like a man, act like a woman, think like a man. He been married two or three times, trying to tell you, come on, people, come on. Do not, blessed is the married couple who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't do what they say. People say all kind of stuff at your job. You hear all kinds of stuff all everywhere, on talk shows, on radios, Essence magazine, Jet, Life, whatever you read, People magazines, all that stuff. They don't listen to that stuff. And some of us are just so weak. We're just weak. So media has so much influence on us. If media has that much influence, turn it off. Here you go watching some soap opera, getting ideas about your husband. You know, he at work working hard, ain't doing nothing wrong, and then everybody on the soap opera cheating. How does that get into your house? Are you that weak? So you watch the soap opera, you shouldn't be watching them anyway. Should be cleaning the house or doing something, or starting your business or helping your children or playing for your husband, whatever. And hopefully I'm talking about women that's watching soap operas, because there's a whole bunch of men that watch it too. Tape them on DVR, but whatever. You watch some soap opera. How about everybody on soap opera cheating? They ain't never been a good marriage. How about that? Let's just put that out there for everybody to know. That's what makes a good soap opera, that people's marriages are falling apart. They're switching, going back to. So you watching some soap opera, and now you getting a sneaky suspicion your husband cheating. Because Cortland is cheating on the show, or whoever, I don't know these people's names. Y'all, come on. Okay? So I want you to look back over your marriage, over your life. Who are you getting bad counsel from? Stop it. Stop listening to them. Stop talking to them about your marriage. Don't listen to dumb people who don't know, have a clue. I mean, come on. It's like me listening to somebody in a homeless shelter talk about how to budget my money. Don't do it. So blessed is the couple that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. What does that mean? That you're not around people that's constantly just influencing you to do the wrong stuff. I'm a married man. I don't hang around with men. Every Monday they come here talking about their weekend at the strip club. Them are not the buddies I go out to eat with. We don't go to lunch together. I can't hang with them people. Because eventually here I go, well, man, let me just go see what y'all talking about. Then my marriage going down the tubes. Now I know this one is kind of hard because, man, people are messed up, even people in the church and stuff. But you cannot, you know, we're made for fellowship, and that's why going to a good church is very important. Because in churches, you know, if it's a good church and they're going to have a marriage ministry like we got, and then they're going to have, you know, good men's fellowship, good women's fellowship, stuff like that. And, you know, you got to be around good people. If not, the Bible says that, what, bad company corrupts good character? You can't hang around with folks that you know are already living that other life. Okay? So blessed is the couple. And let me say this, because this is the time we're in, 2013. You know, you with a married couple, you hanging with married couples, but they worldly. And they sinful. And they, you know, they always talking about something and always got some innuendo. And you know, y'all sitting around dinner table and discussion comes up, you know, what do y'all think about threesomes? Stuff like this. Why are you hanging with these people? What do y'all think about swinging, you know, swapping mates? You're talking about, and then, you know, we've got some people that are Christians talking about, well, we're just trying to reach them. We're just trying to be a good influence. Man, if somebody in your midst that know you're a Christian would even bring that conversation up, number one, either you have ruined your witness enough with them that they feel comfortable doing that, or number two, they are foolish people who are totally irreverent and disrespecting you and your walk with Christ. Either way, you can't help them. If you ruin your witness, you can't help them. And if they are so irreverent and disrespectful that they would even broach a conversation like that with you and your spouse, you can't help them. Because they're not honoring you. They're not respecting you. If you look in, and we've been studying this in Christian education stuff, Mark chapter 6, I believe it was, the Bible says when Jesus went to his own hometown, he could not do any mighty miracles because they dishonored and disrespected him. They did not honor him. And he said, a prophet is without honor in his own home and amongst his own kinsmen and family people. So it was because of that dishonor that he couldn't help them. And when people are dishonoring you like that, you can't help them. Every 5 minutes they got a dirty joke, you can't help them. Stay away from them. All right? Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. These are the people that never have nothing good to say about marriage in general, and about your spouse in particular. Now, this causes another problem, and these are the things that leads to divorce. And I don't care if it's a family member or what. Wife, every time you talk to your mom, she got something derogatory to say about your husband, and you don't stand up and say, hey, mom, that's my husband you're talking about. I don't appreciate every time we talk, you don't have anything good to say about him. Even if it's your mom, even if it's your sister, and many times you've created that bad by talking negatively about your husband around them. Not all the time, but many times it's the same thing. You know, we got a lot of mama's boys. So then they talk to their mama about their wife and she don't cook it like you did, and she don't clean like you did, and all that stuff. You know, and it was a running gag on Everybody Loves Raymond, and you know, but you know, his wife had to, you know, it was funny. It was the comedy of the show that every time the mom came over, she was criticizing the wife. But it was the job of Raymond, who was the weak. He was a weak man anyway. He was weak on the show. That was what they were depicting, was a weak husband and a mama's boy and all that stuff. But it was his job to stop that. And let me put a little caveat in here, those of you who are married. If your parents are disrespecting your spouse, you don't tell your spouse, well, you talk to them about it. No, it's your job as the wife or the husband. It's your job as the child of that parent to go talk to them. Your husband, your wife, they would be out of place to address that or to have to address that. They shouldn't even have to address it. You should address it. And if they can't respect you and your wife or you and your husband, how about they lose access to you? They don't see you as much. Now the two-hour Christmas visit becomes a 15-minute Christmas visit. We dropping off presents, get to see everybody. Ooh, everybody's looking good. Ooh, come give me a kiss. We get ready to go. We got another appointment. Because dishonor should lead to death. Woo, I feel strong about this. Yeah, let me say something. The Lord talks, he's talking to me. There's some people on the line. Listen to me. The holidays are coming up, and there's some people on the line that, you know, and talk to your spouse. They dread. Some of the spouses, you're on the line. They dread coming around your people because they're going to be disrespected. Somebody's going to say something, some little innuendo. Man, look, husband, you got to put a stop to that if they're disrespecting your wife. So if you need to have a pre-game meeting, a pre-game huddle, you know, that's what we call it in sports. You need to talk to them before Thanksgiving meal, before everybody's together. Say, hey, look, hey, I appreciate, you know, all this stuff y'all be saying about my wife. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not putting up with it. And if it continues, we're going to stop coming to these family gatherings. Sometimes you got to put it on the line like that to protect your spouse. Okay, same thing, wife, you know, and sometimes you go out to break camp, break covenant, start your own traditions at your own house or whatever you got to do, but do not subject your spouse to being maligned or maliciously talked to or dealt with by your family people. How did I get off on that? Well, I got off on that because Psalms are saying, no, it's in the season of scornful. So blessed is the married couple that doesn't walk in the counsel of ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay? So what am I saying? What am I saying? I'm saying that when you do these things lead to divorce. These are the things that continue to grate on your marriage. How to stop a divorce? Stop this stuff. Stop it. And you've got the power to stop family members from disrespecting your spouse. It's real easy. Real easy. You talk to them, confront them about it. If they do it in front of you, why did that? Correct them right there. If it don't stop, you remove you and your spouse, your family, whatever, and limit the time that you're around them till they get themselves together and cut it out. Okay? But don't stay around people, number one, if you write it down, who they don't have nothing good to say about marriage in general, and then specifically, they don't have anything good to say about your spouse or you and your spouse being together. All right. But, now here's the positive side. blessed is the man. But the couple's delight is in the law of the Lord. The couple's delight is in the Lord. What are you delight in? What are you guys doing? What are you guys spending time doing? You should be spending time in the Word. Hello? I'm sorry. So, guys, you know, your delight should be in the Lord. How are you going to turn your marriage around? We were dealing with one couple. One was going to this church. One was going to the other church. And one go to church. One don't go to church. One, okay, let's start right there foundationally. If y'all not together on your spiritual stuff, I would realize sometimes people, for whatever reason or however, they marry somebody that's not a Christian. Okay, that's a whole other subject. Okay, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about all things being equal. Both people are Christians. How to stop a divorce. Okay, how to stop a divorce. Let's get back to God. I can tell you right now, if you are headed for divorce, you're not with God. Y'all left God somewhere a long time ago. Okay? Let's get back to God. So, first of all, check up on your relationship with God. Are you saved? Number one, SAT. If you want to find that out, go to www.tinyurl.com/ Salvation test. You can go on our website, click the button. KingdomChurchofHouston.com, click the button, Salvation test. Start right there. Okay? Yeah, we would say, but, you know, we drifted away from God. Come back to God. Let's come back to God. We've got a new couple that's just coming to our church. Man, it is astounding what God is doing. And He's putting their marriage and their home and their family back together. But guess where it started? It started with them coming back to God. Together. Worshiping at church. Together. You know? Getting ministered to individually. You know, going up to the altar. Crying before the Lord. There was another couple in another state from here. They've been on the line and everything. Marriage was in a mess. And the first thing we started with was, man, y'all need to leave that church you at, and both of y'all need to go to this other church. I told them specifically by word of knowledge what they needed to do. And as long as they weren't doing that, they were having problems. Well, it ain't about the church. It's about this. It's about that. It's about that. No, it's not. It's about y'all coming back together and delighting in the Lord together. Get to that church, what I told you 6 months ago. Still wouldn't do it. So finally, at the very end, they went ahead and tried to do what I told them to do. Everything came together. Everything came together. Y'all, everything starts with God. Everything starts with Him. How to stop a divorce? Let's get back in the Word. What does the Word say? Our delight is in the Lord. See, I'm blessed when I don't do these other things that he's saying, and then when I do the things that he's talking about, which is start delighting in the Lord again. See, it's all a part of the same phrase. Blessed is the man that walks not, nor standeth in the way, nor sitteth in the seat. But he's blessed, why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, we switched man out for couple. So blessed is the couple that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. They're going to be blessed if they don't do this, but they're going to be blessed if they do the next part, which is verse 2. But the couple's delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth the couple meditate day and night. We had a guy, I think he's on the line now, in a whole nother state. He told me, he said, Pastor Ronnie, He said, I've been listening to you. He said, it sounds like I've been with you for the last 2 weeks. I listen to you all day, all night. He said, you know, he goes to the podcast. We got, I don't know how many messages we got out there now. 50-some-odd messages, over 50, 60, 70 hours of teachings or something like that. And he just listened to over and over and over, pouring it into him, pouring it into him. His delight. And I told him what to do. I said, man, get on there and just start listening. And he did what I told him. The husband. The husband. But the wife messing up. No, but you. This is what you do. Get on there and start listening to the word. But my wife, don't worry about your wife right now. Get yourself together. Your wife is not your problem. You're your problem. Because you left God a long time ago. Started listening. His delight became, he started listening to the word day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day, listen to that word. When you are in a jam, when you get ready to get divorced, when you are in a crisis in your marriage, man, let's go back to the word. Start delighting in that word, getting to that word day and night. Now, I'm losing some people right there because some people just ain't going to do that. They're not going to do it. But I'm telling you, the word is like salve on a wound. Start getting in that word. I'm talking about pouring it in. I'm talking about you getting ready to get divorced, talking about we done did everything that we could do. I remember Tony Evans years ago, and I met with him years ago. He's an awesome man of God. He's a fundamentalist, but he's an awesome man of God. But one of the things that Tony Evans, you know, couples come to him talking about they're getting ready to get divorced, and he said, well, have you done everything you said? Yeah, we done everything we could do. He said, well, have you fasted and prayed? Well, no, ain't nobody did that. Have you gotten the word? Well, you ain't done everything you can do. Get in the word. Start delighting in the word night and day. But see, by the time we get ready to get divorced, we so carnal and so fleshly, we ain't trying to hear that. Because it's all about the other person. No, it's not. It's about you. But you don't know what they did. It ain't about them. It's about you. Because if you get in line, just, I'm talking 9 times out of 10, they going to see it. This brother started listening to the word, got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God started giving them words and knowledge and stuff. And man, his father was like, whoa, this brother is changing. So then she started changing. Listen. But the couple's delight is in the law of the Lord, Psalms 1. And the couple's in his law, does the couple meditate day and night. So I know we like watching TV and media and all that. When your marriage is in a crisis, cut the TV off. Cut all this worldly, secular music off. Because they ain't going to do nothing but give you another reason to leave that joke. I mean, some of these secular songs, man, that's all. I was in the barbershop, and this was probably 2 years ago or something. And then whenever I hear something, and I ask people, you know, that I know kind of worldly in the world about it, they say, Pastor Riley, you late, you know. But it was a song. It was a little song, and I know some of y'all probably heard it. The girl, the hook of the song is, I'll bust the windows out your car. That's the hook of the song. I said, good God about it. Boy, can you imagine somebody already mad on the verge of doing something, you know, mad at their husband or whatever, man. They hear this song on the radio, I'll bust the windows out your car. Sure, they go get a brick and start busting windows out cars. So turn the media off and turn the word on. And get in there night and day. And, y'all, it's all kind of technology where you can do that. You can go to Bible Gateway. You can turn on this this app where it will read the word of God until you tell it to stop. It'll go chapter by chapter. It'll keep going. just so you can get to it. You can be at work with your headphones on or whatever, and you can get the word in you, man. Night and day. There's no excuse. There's Christian television. And some of it ain't good, but some of it's still okay. Christian movies. When last time you watched Fireproof, the movie about saving your marriage, instead of watching Temptation, all of those, y'all know. Why did I get married? All of those crazy stuff. Okay? Pour the word in. Now watch what's going to happen when you do it. It says when you start delighting in the word of God, this couple, verse 3, and the couple, the married couple, shall be planted, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bring forth fruit in their season. Their leaves shall not wither, and whatever the couple does together shall prosper. But watch this, verse 4. But the ungodly couples are not so. They're like the wind, the chaff that the wind drives away. They're not going to make it. And you've been on this ungodly lifestyle, no word, skim milk preaching, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. 5 minutes of God, 6 hours of the Kardashians, you're not going to make it. You got to be dedicated and motivated to give back to God. Because that's really what it's all about. When you get, you was closer to God on your wedding day when you made your vows. Now you've gotten away from God, away from the vows you made and all this stuff. So get back to God. And if both of y'all start going back to God together, man, that marriage, there's so much stuff that's going to heal up. There'll still be areas that you may have to deal with, counseling, specific things like that. But I'm telling you, that marriage is going to heal. How to stop a divorce? How to stop a divorce? Do you need another recap? I'm going to do it again. How to stop a divorce? Let's go back. Blessed is the couple that don't walk in the counsel of God. Stop listening to ungodly people tell you about how to be married. Folks ain't married. Folks been married 3 or 4 times. They marriage ain't even working out. Stop listening to them. No stands in the way of sinners. Don't go around ungodly people, ungodly couples. Especially if you struggling yourself, you're not going to be an influence. You know, if you're strong, you know, you can minister to them or whatever, but that's not your, these are not your running buddies. We're not going on a cruise with 3 couples that's on the verge of being swingers and threesomes and all that stuff. Drinking, smoking, getting high. Okay? That's not going to be good for your marriage. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Stop sitting and listening to folks bad mouth marriage, bad mouth your spouse, bad mouth you and your spouse's marriage. Y'all should never got married anyway. He was the wrong person. But there's Susie down the street. She was waiting on you. You married Mary and all of that crazy stuff. Don't even sit there and listen to that. But, so don't do those things, but delight in the law of the Lord. Get in the word. Start going to church together again. Start praying together. Start worshiping together. And then I'm talking about high doses of the word. And not no low-fat, skim milk word. Fat-free word, all that old stuff. You need some heavy-duty word. Some strong preaching and teaching. That's going to convict you and your taste. That's good for your spouse. You know, you're the woman, and you all the Christian books and Christian CDs you listen to, how to be a strong man, how to be a better husband. No. You're going to get the stuff that's for you. I'm laughing because people do that stuff all the time. You ain't going to do that, but make your husband even more mad. Drive him further away from the word. All right? Because the light is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Woo! I love verse 3. And that couple should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That tree ain't going nowhere. And brings forth their fruit in their season. And the leaf shall not wither. You know, Brother Pat's been posting some stuff on our marriage website. If you didn't know we had a marriage website, it's wdm.wordpress, or waiting, dating, mating. .wordpress.com is our blog. You can get there in several ways. You can go on our website, Kingdom Church of Houston website, and you can get there and then subscribe and then just get all the new postings that'll just come directly to you. But you know, just talking about good stuff about marriage, and people have been married 60 something years and 40 something years and all just good stuff, you know, all month he's been posting those things. And it's good just to read those things and to hear about people that made it through hard times and all of those things. I love good marriage stories, man, people that stayed together. So you want to encourage yourself by reading those things and taking advantage of those things. All right, I'm opening up comments or questions. Comments or questions about what we talked about today.
The host has joined the conference.
I'm so sorry, my signal was. Any questions or comments? Questions or comments? Go ahead.
Yeah, hey Pastor, I got something.
Okay.
When somebody dishonors you, like, you know, does that does mean because them dishonoring you, that means they get limited access to you, correct?
Okay, say that question again. I didn't hear you.
Like when somebody dishonors, for example, you know, so when somebody dishonors you, right, and if they made it a practice, you know, then you could probably limit them how much they have access to you or to your family, correct?
Right. Yes. And this is not new. I mean, I didn't make that up. This is the Bible. Okay? This is Jesus. You'll see in his life the people that honored him, the people that believed in him, they got more access to him. The folks that was trying to kill him, throw him off a cliff, how about he didn't hang out with them? he dealt with them sparingly. The Pharisees and his enemies that he knew was out to get him. Okay, that's one. If they're an enemy, of course you're going to limit access to them. You're going to limit information and all of those things because your enemy will use access to you, your family, and information about you to hurt you. Okay, that's one. Two, they might not be your enemy, so to speak. They just may be too familiar with you. That's the other thing that happened with Jesus. When he went to his hometown, they weren't his enemies, but they were holding him in an old pattern. They said, we know him. He's Joseph. That's Joseph's son. His brothers and sisters are right here. They grew up with us. And he couldn't really do any mighty miracles there, the Bible says, because of their unbelief. They didn't believe in him, and they were dishonoring him. He said, Jesus said about his hometown that they were dishonoring him. He said, a prophet is without honor in his own home and amongst his own kinsmen. So he limited access to them. He limited access to his own family at one point, his mom and brothers and sisters. He up teaching, preaching in a meeting. They come banging on the door talking about, we need to see Jesus outside. Jesus, he looked at the audience, he said, who is my mother and my brother except for those that are doing the will of God? And he did not get up and go see Mary. I really help Catholics out a lot when I'm teaching them that, and it helps them to see how Jesus viewed his mother Mary at different points. He didn't get up, he didn't move, he didn't flinch. You know, because Catholics hold Mary to our God. She's outside. He said, no, I'm not moving. I'm in here doing what I'm supposed to do. And if they were with me, they should be in here too. So they still had access to him. Of course, we see Mary again when he, at the crucifixion. We see him and his brothers having a discourse right before some big celebration in Jerusalem. In John chapter, I forget what chapter it is, I think it's 7. So, I mean, he still had, interaction with them, but you don't see them a lot interacting with him during those 3 years of his ministry because they didn't believe in him. So he limited access to them. So, you know, whatever that's worth, and I ain't trying to start no family problems, but here's the thing, guys, and the holidays is just that time when that stuff happens. Man, love your spouse first. And if you know people are going to be coming off the top rope, I mean, why would your wife want to go sit up at your mom in the house and she know and y'all going to be watching the game and you're going to be over there 5 hours and she going to have to sit there and endure ridicule, being ostracized, left out, cutting remarks for 5 hours? Why would you do that to somebody you love? You don't do that. So, you know, I mean, I don't do that. I don't do that. And those things have happened in my own marriage. And I was very clear with my family at different points. And see, like my wife, she's very, well, around everybody else. She's very quiet. She's very soft-spoken and nice. Except around me, she ain't none of that. Anyway, she's, you know, that's not true. But anyway, and so, you know, a lot of the women in my family, they are career women, and they're very aggressive, they're loud, some of them, and all that kind of stuff. Well, those two personalities in women don't generally mix, so, you know, my wife don't be trying to act like she, you know, she would just go and sit and be quiet and talk to whoever talked to her. But there were, you know how women can get. So, you know, I had to say something at one point. There was a couple times my stepdad, he's dead now, he came off the top rope on my wife for no reason. And, you know, of course, we raise our children the same way. We have certain things that we believe, certain things we stand for, and this and that. So she just falling out, you know, basically my orders and my plans and we've already agreed to our children and whatever. And he says to me, man, and I said, hey, brother, with all due respect, that's my wife. Okay? So if y'all want to keep seeing us and the grandchildren, then you're going to have to respect my wife. Now, you know, y'all know me. No, confrontation is not one of my weak points. So I did not bite my tongue on that. And I said it in love and respect, but, you know, that's my wife, man. And, you know, we in a family, we're going to be with each other, seeing each other at all these different events and stuff. You know, y'all going to treat her right. And if not, you're going to lose access. Because why am I going to keep bringing my wife around to get kicked, you know, and slapped on and beat down and criticized and made to feel bad? We can stay home and do our own holiday and feel good. Hello. That's my take on it. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Hey, Chris, I wanted to say thank you for the message today. You know, it was very nutritious for my spirit, and thank you for, you know, reiterating things that we all need to do in our marriage. And I just want to thank you for that because it's
Amen.
True.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you for that.
Praise God. To God be the glory. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Questions or comments? Glory to God. Well, Gina, I think it's your time. We're going to close it out in prayer. So go ahead and close us out. Thank God for you guys being on the line this morning, and I hope we've been a blessing to you. Go ahead, babe.
Okay, the only thing that I wanted to comment on, Pastor, he was talking about always going on about what your spouse is doing. It's so funny. This week I was speaking with a young woman about that very thing. We sat and talked on the phone. The Lord, I felt like the Lord led me to call her, and sat and talked on the phone for about an hour. For about an hour, she was just bashing her husband, talking about what her husband was doing, and he's doing this, and he's been doing that, and he's been doing this for 2 years, and for 2 years he's been doing that, and just on and on and on from thing to thing to thing. And I was quiet, and I listened, let her talk. And after a certain point, I just, you know, I broke in and I told, I said, I understand your spouse might be doing some things, but, you know, I know that you're not doing everything that you should be doing. I said, the Lord is saying for both of you that you both have been blaming each other and pointing the finger and talking about what the oven was doing, that was the problem. But the Lord says that the problem is that both of you have grown away from him, and that if you get your relationship in your relationship individually back right with him, that your problems will dissolve themselves. And so, of course, she wasn't trying to hear that. And but we both know that to be true in our own lives. I've just gotten to the point that anytime in our marriage when there's an agitation or I begin to feel an agitation or frustration, I immediately go to the Lord. I run to him and say, okay, God, what is my part in it? You know, what am I doing wrong? What can I do to make things better? How to handle this? And in doing that, you know, I don't shift the blame of, you know, I keep it on me first. You know, is there anything I'm doing wrong? And sometimes it is me. Sometimes I'm not walking in love. Sometimes my perspective is wrong, or any number of things. And then if it is something that needs to be handled from the other end, he gives me wisdom and instruction on how to handle it, and vice versa. He does the same thing, and that saves a lot of strife and confusion in the home, and it saves a lot of time. He preached a sermon a while back about redeeming the time, not wasting your time, not doing things to waste your time. And in marriage and family, we can't afford to waste time. We need to gain as much time as possible and keep as much peace as we possibly can. So we praise God for the word on this morning. Let's go ahead and pray and close out. Father, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for this time we've spent in your word together, God. We thank you for one more opportunity to come together and in agreement and listen to your word and learn more of you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the homes that are represented on the line, Father. We thank you, God, that those homes are blessed, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that the marriages are blessed. We thank you, Father, that the children, born and unborn, are blessed, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that each family, Lord, walks out your will for their lives in the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that all of those that are on the line, Father God, that needs to draw closer to you, Father, we pray that they do so, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they don't take this for granted, that they don't take this word and this opportunity that we have every Saturday to come together, take it for granted. But, Lord, that they listen to the word, apply it to their lives, not only be hearers but be doers of your word, Father, so that your will and your word can be made manifest in our lives and so that we can be the walking, living examples and epistles of God's word that we're supposed to be in the earth to all of those that are watching. We thank you, God. We love you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
God bless you guys. Amen. Thank you all for being on this morning. If you know somebody else, yeah. Hello? Hello? Okay. If you guys want to get our emails and our notifications, make sure you go to our website and make sure you fill out that form that you can get your emails, that you can get updated on our blogs, and you can get a lot of that stuff even on your phone. So so just make sure that you do that. And also, we're trying to get a email tree, so make sure you email us, KingdomChurchOfHouston@gmail.com, so that we can get your email address and plug you into our email list as well. God bless you. Do something good for your spouse today. Love on your spouse. You know, tell them you love them. You know, do something that you know that they like. You know, for you to do, and be good to them today. Be good to them today. Be good to them today. Tell somebody else about the marriage line. You know, some people are struggling in their marriage. Give them the phone number. Give them the code. Every Saturday from 8 to 9, we're going to be on. strengthening marriages, saving homes, bringing couples back together. That's what we do on the Marriage Call. So God bless you guys. We love you guys. And remember, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. All right? Be patient, be kind, be loving to your spouse all week. And we'll talk to you guys next time. God bless you. Have a great day.
Bless you.
You didn't say nothing. You hang up.
I didn't hang up, Eddie. God bless you. Bye.
Hang it up.